Hey guys, I want to start this episode out a little differently. So this is the episode to celebrate getting to 420 followers on Twitter. Woo woo! Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it more than you know. I have been struggling with mental health, to say the least, the past month. A lot of things are happening concerning my own wedding, so if I don't release episodes when I say I will, or am late with episode releases, or things don't get done till after the wedding, I'm really sorry. But that's how it has to be for now because of things going on in my life. Twitter followers and fans, you all were very understanding and encouraging this morning, and I really appreciate it. I considered lying and saying it was technical difficulties, but decided to be honest with you guys. I do suffer with depression and severe anxiety, so that's just something to remember as a fan of mine in this podcast, that sometimes those things get in the way of the best laid plans. So we are going to dive in to this 420 followers episode. And yeah, just, you know, if you're struggling or anything, you can reach out to me. I can point you to the right resources, but never be ashamed of your mental health or putting it first. Okay, so I'm going to do the intro I usually do in the beginning of this episode because I just went on about mental health. So, and I think it's important for everybody to digest that and accept my limitations just like I need to. All right, so grab your weed, grab your wine for this 420 bonus episode, 420 followers. Woo woo! Keep liking and sharing, guys. All right, grab your weed, grab your wine, and let's dive in to this true crime. Hey guys, welcome to a bonus episode of Weed, Wine, and True Crime. This episode is about Krista Pike and her boyfriend, who were a part of the occult. They were at a Job Corps center in Kentucky trying to better their lives. His name is Tadarryl Shipp. And Krista eventually becomes obsessed with this boy. He's known as a Satan worshiper around school, and they end up torturing and killing a classmate. I had to do the brief overview because, as you know, my intro was a little different tonight, but that's totally fine. Sometimes things need to change for a night or two, and that is fine as well. I am smoking Maui Wowie. Maui Wowie. Wowie. Okay, I'm done. I'm still weird even though I'm depressed, so at least you know I'm kind of okay. I am smoking it with a concentrate called garlic mints, which really grossed me out. I know I smoked that strain of weed once, I think, and garlic and mints don't go together still for me. The Maui Wowie is delicious, fruitful, gets me in a good high. I give it a 9 out of 10 leaves. The concentrate is beautiful, always gets me nice and stoned. Can't complain there. So, grab your bongs, grab your bowls, grab your weed, grab your blunts, grab your Pinot Grigio, grab your, because I have my glass of Pinot Grigio per usual. Your girl isn't flaking on you. Grab your cocktail of choice. I don't care. Liquor, beer, whatever makes you happiest. And your happiest, I don't think that's right, most enjoyable smoking tool. And let's dive in to the killing of Colleen Slemner by Krista Pike and Tadarryl Shipp. So they are at I said they were in Kentucky. They're in Tennessee. Sorry, my bad. They're at a Knoxville job corps, which is around the country. If you're from America, you probably heard of it. If not, it's around the country in America. It was more popular in, like, the 80s and 90s for people to go to, because now there's specific trade schools and colleges, but it's a trade school, so you could go there if you're struggling. It is free. They give it to disenfranchised people who want to better their lives. So on that list is Krista Pike, to Daryl Shipp, and Colleen Slemner, which is sad. So what I would like to do is look at Krista's upbringing and then get into the actual events that happened at the Job Corps and get into the trial, because I will say this, to Daryl is 17 and Krista is 18 when they commit this unspeakable murder. So Krista was born in West Virginia on March 10th, 1976, and her life wasn't a great one. Her mother was a party girl, and she did a lot of drugs. She drank a lot. She wasn't awfully interested in raising Krista. It wasn't her number one goal in life to be a great mother. She was here for a good time, not for a long time, as my best friend Joe Papany, rest in peace, bud, love you, would always say. So she's a party girl. She doesn't care for Krista. So Krista ends up being raised by her grandmother for most of her early life. Then, unfortunately, Krista's grandma passes away when she is 12 years old. After she passes away, Krista obviously needs a place to live with a guardian, so she moves back in with her mother. At 12 years old, Krista's mom decided it was a good idea to introduce her to marijuana. Okay, so I realize this show is about the benefits of marijuana. I use the benefits of marijuana for my depression, my anxiety, my celiacs, for a lot of things. And it has helped me immensely. I do not think in any way, shape, or form a guardian should give marijuana to an underage child, smoke marijuana with an underage child, especially a preteen. It's not okay in teenage years. I understand high schoolers experiment, but in my book, not okay. And I'm a huge proponent for marijuana, but there needs to be a line that you have with your kids. But since she was never worried about being a great mother, I think she thought they could bond with this, maybe. Maybe I'm just projecting. Not projecting, but assuming. I don't have kids, so I can't really project. But, so I just no. Just say no, kids. Just say no until your brain is somewhat developed and can actually handle marijuana. And you can make, know what it does, make the conscious choice. But in my opinion, you should wait until you're 18. I'm not trying to be a buzzkill, but let's get real here. Mind-altering substance, I think it cures more than it hurts. But when your mind is still developing, I think you should stay away from drugs. I did drugs at a young age, and I'm a perfect example as to why to stay away from them, okay? It didn't end well for me, but I mean, it did, because now I'm running this awesome show and live an awesome life, but there were years there where it was not good at all. So Krista starts smoking marijuana. She drops out of high school and gets arrested for shoplifting charges. She ended up in juvie for a month after the shoplifting, and she wanted to be a nurse technician, she figured out, while she was in juvie. So she joined Job Corps, which, like I said, was free, helped disenfranchise families. They were housed there. So it's kind of like a way more strict, because they take underage people, as obvious by to Daryl Shipp being 17. It has way more rules, but it's kind of like a really not nice boarding school. They aren't that nice. Look into them. The buildings don't look nice. Honestly, I've looked into the reviews of them because of this case, because I became very interested in the place they were actually attending. They are not great. A lot of people say good things, but a lot more say terrible things about their experience there. I'm not discouraging anybody. I think it's awesome they offer education for free. A lot more places should do that. I'm just explaining what it would be like to be in there. Not that I've ever been there, but from my look into it, like Morestra College, like you have a curfew, you can only go out certain times, and I think this has to do with the underage children also being there. So, they're at the Knoxville Job Corps, and this will lead to them meeting Colleen Slemmer and killing her. So, Krista becomes boy crazy. She doesn't care about school. She's more worried about boys. And she becomes obsessed with Tadaryl when they start dating. And he's kind of known as the bad boy. He's a known occultist and Satanist. I'm going to say this. I know Satanists are not for human sacrifice and all of that. But at 17 years old, this kid wants to look like a badass and is not actually following Satanism, just claiming it because it was probably shocking, especially in an area like Knoxville, Tennessee, that's definitely like Bible Belt, Baptists, holy water, people screaming and fainting in church, that kind of thing. So Tadaryl Shipp, to get into him, had a really hard background as well. His mother was a single mother, and Tadaryl dropped out of high school in the 9th grade. He went on to become a gang member. So he's in a gang. His mother realizes his life is going in a really bad direction. He has no high school education. He's in a gang. She urges him to join the Knoxville Job Corps. And he's in the culinary arts program. Remember, Krista wants to be a nurse tech. Okay? Are we all following along this crazy Job Corps map so far? So the other people that were in the Job Corps with Tadaryl and Krista said that almost immediately they were in love. The relationship happened very quickly and developed very quickly and got serious very quickly. And they were both drawn into the occult. Like I said, not actual Satanism. Satanists are about like empowering yourself. It's more self than relying on a god to do anything or a greater force, whatever you want to call it. So it's not an accurate version, but they're also 17 and 18 high school dropouts. They've probably, especially in the Bible Belt, heard stuff about Satanists. They're obviously rebellious, so they're both attracted to the Satanist occult stuff that isn't really what Satanists or people who are involved in the occult practice, but so they start practicing this. And it becomes almost cult-like, where they are leading information sessions about Satanism in the occult, and Job Corps attendees actually join them. And this will include Shadala Peterson, who joined them. Okay, so now let's get in to Colleen, who, she just seems like the sweetest girl. I just want to say that going into this. So she's from Jackson, Florida. She went to Job Corps to study computer technology. She was described as pretty and enthusiastic when her classmates were asked about her. So Krista and her obviously end up crossing paths, which turns out to be absolutely terrible for Colleen. This meeting changes the course of what her entire life would be. So they cross paths. One day, Krista claims she sees Colleen hitting on to Daryl and trying to, quote unquote, steal him away from her. So Colleen and all of her friends are like, ew, gross, not interested into Daryl's Satan-worshipping ass. Like, keep him, boo. I do not want him. Keep him, boo. Like, girl, just because you're into this man to an obsessive level does not mean any other motherfucking girl gives a shit about him. Girl, get your mind right. I mean, she doesn't. But if you're out there and you're one of those girls that thinks every single girl is hitting on your man, honey, they are not. Most of them do not give a shit about your man. Now, if they're sliding into his DMs, that is totally different. But most women, myself included, I don't care about your man. I'm happy you're happy with your man. Go be with your man, girl, and get out of my face. And that is probably how Colleen felt about them. So Krista convinces to Daryl and Shadala. Sorry, I forgot her name for a second. So to Daryl and Shadala that Colleen needed to be quote unquote sacrificed in the name of Satan. Now, as I've said before, Satanists don't believe in human sacrifice or animal sacrifice or any of that. That has been developed by the media. If you actually look into the Satanist religion, it has absolutely zero sacrifice. So, on January 11th, 1995, Krista tells her friend Kim, and I'm sorry if I say this wrong, Kim Ilio, that she was planning to kill Colleen because, quote unquote, she felt mean that day. So this is like the girl, I can't remember her name right now, and I'm supposed to be like a true crime junkie and you're all gonna be like, duh, it's so-and-so who did the school shooting. She lived across the road, did the school shooting, and when asked why she did it, she said because she hated Mondays. So, like, I'm in a bad mood, so I'm gonna kill this bitch and sacrifice her to Satan today. Like, that wasn't sounding crazy to any of her friends or anybody around her. What is wrong with the people at this Jump Corps? Like, what the hell? If one of my friends in high school came up to me and said, I feel mean today, I'm gonna kill so-and-so and sacrifice them to Satan, I'd be like, what, girl? And then if they really were going to do it, and I was concerned for somebody's right, you're damn well I would narc them out. You are damn right, because this person is clearly crazy and the other person doesn't deserve to lose their life. I am all about snitches get stitches, but not in that case. So, Iolio, I'm going to call her Kim because I can't say her last name, said she thought that Krista was just talking shit and that she wouldn't really do it, and that, you know, she just brushed it off as a girl upset talking about the girl that she thinks is trying to steal her man. The following night, so January 12th, 1995, Krista, Daryl, and Shadala lure Colleen out into the woods. They promise her that they're gonna smoke some marijuana. Okay, so this is why I'm saying don't smoke until you're above age, because none of my friends are gonna lure me out to the woods with that shit. I'd be like, come in my motherfucking house and we'll smoke. But they're underage, they have to hide in the woods. I have been there. I remember smoking in the woods out of an aluminum can to hide from people. I remember running from cops. I remember the weed really sucked when I was younger, and that is what I remember. So, anyways, that next night, they lure her out with promises of smoking weed in the woods. So they go out to the woods, and Colleen's like, break out. All right, so she probably didn't say that, but they go into the woods, and they clearly don't have marijuana, and Colleen starts to get nervous, and that is when Krista Pike and Tadaryl Shipp attack her ferociously, and Shadal Peterson served as the lookout. So for a half hour, Colleen was tortured, beaten, and slashed with a knife. So for a half hour, she wasn't killed. She was just tortured, beaten, and cut. Not enough to kill her, but enough to cause pain. Krista Pike then carves a pentagram into her chest. So that's clearly the Satanism part playing a role in this. So Krista ultimately ends her victim's life by hitting her on the head with a piece of cement. She said it was really hard work. They spent a half hour. The bitch wouldn't die. So she picked up, that was her words, not mine. She picked up a piece of cement and smashed her in the head. Then she goes on to keep a piece of Colleen's skull on her as a souvenir. So once she smashes her in the head, she grabs a piece of her skull. Now, I'm going to say this as an outsider looking in, somebody working towards being a psychologist. This bitch is a sociopath at 18 years old. For her to not only torture, then kill her, she's also a sadist, torture, then kill her, but keep a piece of her goddamn skull as a souvenir, that is sociopath shit. Her and Jeffrey Dahmer could have been biffles, probably. So nobody ends up reporting this to the police. None of the co-conspirators, none of her friends, nobody. Even when Colleen is noticed as missing, nobody comes forward and says, oh, I heard my friend talking all this shit, saying she would kill her, we didn't think she would do it, and now Colleen, no, none of that. But they didn't go that deep into the woods. So Colleen's body is recovered pretty quickly. So Krista can't help herself and starts bragging to all the other Job Corps attendees, saying, look at this, I have a piece of this bitch's skull, you don't want to mess with me, we sacrificed her to Satan, trying to cement her illusion of being a badass, her reputation, her illusion of a reputation of being a Satanist and a badass. Once again, side note, I don't want to offend Satanists, so that's not really what Satanism is about. Police start to catch on to this. There starts to be hearsay going throughout Job Corps that they killed her. Krista kept bragging. So the police go to Krista's front door and interview her on January 15th, 1995. So only a couple days after the murders. It's not like they were out free for a very long time. So Krista waives her Miranda rights, which she is allowed to do because she is 18. It was stupid, but she is allowed to do it. And she confesses to the crime. She claimed that she just wanted Colleen to leave her the hell alone, but the cops looked at the brutality of the crime and knew that wasn't the case at all. Like, if you just want somebody to leave you alone, you'll punch them, maybe hit them over the head with something. You're not going to continually slash and beat and torture and maim and carve a pentagram into this person's chest. So Krista said that as Colleen was begging for her life, that made her become more brutal towards her and more angry. The more Colleen begged to live, the more Krista was enraged and just wanted to kill her. So Colleen kept talking, trying to make time, trying to save her life. So Krista kicks her in the face. So Colleen, that doesn't stop Colleen, obviously, from begging for her life. So that's when Krista sliced her throat because she was sick of her talking. Within 36 hours of the crime, Krista Pike, Tadarrell Shipp, and Shadola Peterson were all arrested for their roles in the murders of Colleen Slemner. So Pike's attorney tries to argue diminished mental capacity caused the murder, but a doctor, Eric Engum, I hope I'm saying that right, came in and said that while Krista had borderline personality disorder to an extremely severe extent, a dependency on marijuana, which, don't get me started on that, I think that's only mental, but that, I'm not diagnosing her. She very well could have. I'm not going to go there. My personal opinion is it's very hard to develop. It's impossible. This is scientific fact. It's my opinion. I don't know why I said it is. Marijuana is not physically addicting. Okay. So, depression she also had, but she had no signs of brain damage or being insane to the point where she couldn't understand the consequences of her actions. So you guys understand that, right? So, like, when people say, I'm going to plead insanity, it's not just proving that they are insane and have mental disorders. It's proving they are insane and have mental disorders to the point where they could not distinguish between right and wrong. That is why proving insanity is harder than it may seem. Not a lot of cases, especially in certain areas where mental health isn't as accepted, even approve of insanity, please. The amount of insanity pleas that go through are slim. So another doctor comes in, and he's a doctor. An expert in Satanism. His name is Dr. William Burnett. And he claimed, yeah, there's some satanic elements to what Krista did, but it doesn't really understand Satanism. So he said, quote unquote, what it looked like to him was an adolescent dabbling in Satanism and an act of aggression towards this person more than it was a sacrifice to Satan, quote unquote, he put, or a satanic crime. Krista's attorneys bring up members of her family to bring up her upbringing and show she didn't know right from wrong because she had this terrible upbringing. Her grandmother raised her. Her mom was this party animal. Her grandmother passes away. She has to live with her mom. Her mom starts smoking weed with her at this young age. So they're trying to show she had this terrible life that would help mitigate some of the things that happened in the murder. So another doctor, Dr. Diana McCoy, was supposed to testify to Krista's diminished capacity. However, her testimony was scrubbed at the last minute. Now remember, to Daryl, this is the big difference between Krista and Tadarrell. Tadarrell is 17. He cannot get the death penalty. Krista can because she's 18. I know that 1 year seems crazy. Different states have different laws. I don't think any minor should be able to get the death penalty, but I think Krista probably had the mentality of a very young person. I'm not saying that excuses her crimes. I'm saying she should have been sentenced equal to Tadarrell. So he's sentenced to life. He gets the possibility of parole after 25 years. So then remember Shadola, the lookout, testified for the state, and she exchanged that for a guilty plea to being an accessory after the fact and only got sentenced to probation because she helped the state, she was young, she didn't really participate in the murder, she was the lookout. Not excusing her behavior either, but She did not do... No, she didn't do anything to save this poor girl's life, but she wasn't involved, so the police said, you're the least terrible out of this group of terrible people. That doesn't make you good. That makes you the least terrible, so we'll work with you as the expert witness. So, Krista gets convicted of capital murder and conspiracy to commit murder. And the jury only needed 2.5 hours to deliberate on that. On March 30th, 1996, she was sentenced to death by electrocution. On June 6th, 1996, remember she had another charge for the conspiracy to commit murder. She gets 25 years for that. So, Krista Pike in modern day. She has not been a model prisoner in the least terms. She still shows no remorse for murdering Colleen. She wrote a letter to Daryl a few days after she was sentenced to die that said this. Please write me. I miss you so much. You see what I get for trying to be nice to the hoe? I went ahead and bashed her brains out so she'd die quickly instead of letting her bleed to death and suffer more. And they fucking fry me. Ain't that some shit? Please write me and tell me what you're feeling. Also, tell your lawyer if he wants me to testify for you. I will. Love you for the rest of my life. Signed, Lil Devil. So, she's calling herself Lil Devil. By the way, I did not improvise reading any of that. I read it how things were spelled. So, like, the dats and stuff, that's actually what she wrote. D-A-T instead of T-H-A-T. So, don't make fun of me. So, this was read aloud at a subsequent court date because Krista has tried appealing her conviction. In August 2004, Krista was convicted of attempted first-degree murder in jail for attempting to strangle a fellow inmate. The inmate's name was Patricia Jones. She took her shoestring, tried to kill this woman. Can we say sociopath or psychopath? Yeah, like, come on. She clearly has not been done killing and should never be released to the world. Natasha Cornett, an inmate serving 3 life sentence for the satanic killing of a couple they believe was involved in the attack that Krista performed. Of course, she's still going to identify with people who aren't really Satanists in jail. Like, she's a grown-ass woman now. 1996 was a long-ass time ago. I hate to say that. It hurts my heart because I am a 90s child. But, like, grow the F up, lady. After the attack, Krista calls her mother, the one that smoked weed with her and wasn't a great mother, and said, quote-unquote, I wrapped that shoestring around her and tried to choke the fucking life out of her. She passed out on the ground, mama, twitching, foaming at the mouth. Her eyeballs was bugged out so far, her eyelids were flipped. So yeah, this woman's a real treasure. In March 2012, genius Krista, master plotter Krista, was involved in an escape plan with another inmate from New Jersey. She didn't ultimately get charged, but yeah, she was planning an escape and clearly got caught because she's not the sharpest tool in the shed. So, a few correction officers serve jail time for taking bribes and lose their job for turning the other way while she tries to escape. So, her attorneys exhausted all of her appeals, and they had no effect. The original charges always stood. It never affected it. So, they petition the state of Tennessee. I'm sorry. So, the state of Tennessee, after all of their appeals are exhausted, petitions to set an execution date on August 27th, 2020. There is no execution date as of yet, so she is not, she is on death row. She relishes she's on death row, but she is not set to actually be executed yet by electrocution as demanded by the state. To Daryl is up for parole at some point soon. I think it's a 2028 or 38. I can't remember. But 25... It was 2028. So, you could know, because 25 years ago was what... You know, 1996 was a while ago. So, he is up for parole. We can see if he actually gets out. I don't have a report on how he's doing in jail. I think the playing field should have been leveled. I don't think that Krista should have gotten out. I think Tadaryl should have been sentenced to life. It's obvious they had no care for life at 17 years old. The cold-blooded killing they did, I don't think that kind of thing just, you know, gets out of your system. I think you're a cold-blooded killer like that for life. So that is the conclusion of the bonus episode. I'm happy I got to do it. This is a really interesting case to me. Please follow us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is R0SE420. So Rose420 with Rose spelt with a zero and the 420 at the end. And my Instagram handle is Weed, Wine, and True. Please keep liking, sharing with us, sharing with your friends. Keep messaging me. I love getting the messages from you guys. They're so uplifting. It's made me so happy I started social media. So yeah, keep in contact. Until next time, I love you guys. Have a groovy, groovy night.